Hello and welcome to the Mix Era Rap Podcast. I'm your host, DJ B-Wise. This is a podcast where we talk about hip-hop from boom bap to trap. We're a group of hip-hop enthusiasts from multiple eras trying to bridge the gap in hip-hop. My co-hosts are Kev and JB, the JJB. All right, people, we're back in the building. We are here celebrating the 50th year of hip-hop, and this is our year-end review. We're going to start off by shouting out our social media. You can follow us on Instagram at Mix Era Rap Pod. Again, that's Mix Era Rap P-O-D. And you can follow us on Twitter at Mix Era Rap. And I got to stop saying Twitter because it's now called X. That's what's up. All right, JB, how you feeling this evening?
Man, I'm doing great. Looking forward to the discussion tonight. And, I think people are sold on just continuing the Twitter name. You know, X being the anonymous, the unknown or what have you.
Yeah, that's what's up. All right. Kev, how you feeling?
It's all good. It's all good. It's kind of rainy outside, but it's not going to hamper my mood in any way.
All right. That's what's up. So we're going to jump right into it. And we're going to start out what we're calling this topic. We're calling it the highlights for 2023. Kev, take it away. No, that's me. All right. So for the highlights, you know, we're going to discuss what we thought was the brighter album, songs and artists of this year of 2023. And I'm going to let the youngest in charge start. JB, what were your thoughts on the highlights for 2023 in rap?
Man, I think that because, you know, I think we look at things from the perspective of post COVID now. I don't know. I'm unsure when exactly that'll fade out. But this was the most exciting year since the end of COVID, in my opinion. We had a lot of good. We had one of the better Drake albums in recent times. Not that it was his best. And I think that, you know, guys like Lil Yachty really killed this year. And then we also got really good hip hop records. I mean, we got Rap City, we got Killer Mike, we got a incredible Andre 3000 feature and an immaculate Travis Scott project. And to end the year, we have Kanye West doing what Kanye West does. So it's a lot, man. I got a rundown of albums, artists, and songs, if we want to dive deeper. But man, it was a great year for music, or at least the best since post-COVID.
Oh, definitely. We want you to give what your albums or what performances or what in general, what you thought were the highlights for 2023.
Yeah. So album wise, I have Lil Yachty's project. Let's Start Here. It's one of his first projects under the alternative genre. And quite personally, I think that it was immaculate. I mean, he has guitar riffs, original sounds, by the way, not just samples. I think what Uzi attempted to do in some way is what Yachty got right on his project. And then another incredible artist who I look forward to in the future, I'm not going to go as far as to do what Twitter is doing and calling him the next Michael Jackson, because it's just not, there's never going to be another. Tizo Touchdown, oh my God. He is an artist to truly look forward to. Truly talented voice and just general branding is very unique as well. We got a great album from No Name, Sundial, loving her energy. Obviously she's one of those artists that drops stuff and then goes into the closet afterwards because she's super anti-establishment or whatever. And then one of the albums that carried me throughout the entire year, and I also went to his concert in Philadelphia, is Don Toliver's Lovesick. Oh my goodness, this project, for it to have not received like as much recognition as it should have, and typically for rap artists, it's that third album is when they start to get the recognition. You know, for this to be his quote unquote sophomore project in terms of major studio productions. You know, I guess that it's still niche to some, but I mean, he killed music in the past. He's continuing to do great things. To me, he's like a poppy Travis Scott, but at the same time has a great voice and is masterful when it comes to creating hooks. And then, you know, next and surely not least is Travis Scott's Utopia, which I think is a masterful project. It's just great. I mean, I can't, like, every listen to me, I find something greater to appreciate. I mean, obviously, Killer Mike's Michael, immaculate project. Killer Mike's Michael, immaculate project. I just feel like this was one of the best hip hop albums of this year. And then to sum it all up, I just want to give a big shout out to Odyssey, Black Thought, Mick Jenkins, Pink Sifu, and Trippie Redd for also dropping great albums as well. So that's it for me on albums. I'll hold it there for, you know, Kev or whatever.
All right, that's what's up. Appreciate it. I'm going to jump in and just give what my highlights were. You know, again, this was, like he said, probably the bounce back year for hip hop, current hip hop. And I coincide with him on, you know, the Michael, which I find to be the most introspective project probably in quite a while. I mean, it just really delved. I would say since King's Disease 1, it was very, very introspective. Again, like we know, No Name with her Sundial project was really, really, I thought was one of the most powerful projects as far as females was concerned until Asteroids came out by Rhapsody. And I've been living off of Rhapsody's album now for a week and a half, I think, so far. And I can't forget to leave, you know, to throw in my girl Doja Cat. I thought her project was really nice. And then my honorable mention, I got to mention her because I think that she, if she can just stick with it, she's going to break through all the craziness that's out there as far as female artists. And that's Chica with her project Samson. Again, got to give love to Travis Scott on that Utopia. Again, great, great project. Somebody who I really, really am starting to really appreciate again, that was Mick Jenkins, like JB said, on the Patience project. Really, really nice. But some people I really am just now getting into. Kev will probably mention them in the future. I mean, in his spot. But Skeezo with his project, Mind of a Saint, I thought was really, really a heavy project. I truly enjoyed it. And also Summer Minds, Babyface Ray, was a really powerful piece for me as well. Got to show some love to Magic 2 from Nas. Thought that was really, really a hot album for me. And then this young man that I had no idea who he was, actually, and then after deep diving on him, was like, wow, this dude is really about something. And that's Nick Grant with his project Sunday Dinner. Was amazing, you know. The 50th year of hip hop for me, you know, the highlights were definitely everybody showing love to the pioneers of hip hop. Unfortunately, I'll have to mention them more in the our low light segment, but the highlights were just seeing the old, you know, the people who started this thing out get some shine, make a little bit of money this year, and just really made me feel good. You know, I can't, it's too many to name. There's some people who didn't get love because I don't know who controlled the tours as far as the companies that were managing those tours. But in general, the majority of artists that really started this thing out that who are still alive were able to get a lot of shine. And I mean, increase their bank account. So I'm very happy for them. Same thing with the platforms that showed them love, you know. Drink Champ showed a lot of people love, you know, the Culture Vulture platforms. They showed a lot of love as well. And it was just, it was really, really a powerful year. And I mean, but it also sparked some debates and we may get into that later down the road. Kev, can you anchor this one for us?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I stopped at five albums because I was struggling to really feel like who put out a full album this year. I knew we had a lot of impactful songs, but it's not, you know, normally I try to keep a list going throughout the year so I wouldn't get to this point at the end of the year where I'm struggling to figure stuff out, but I didn't have that this year, so I had to go back over a lot of stuff. But I'll say, before I get into my favorite albums, I want to shout out Vince Staples and Denzel Curry. I know they didn't release nothing this year, but the two projects from last year have carried over for me this year. I'm still listening to them. And that's just the type of impact I think those two had on me from last year for me to still keep going into the new year. And I'm still like, good work, good work. If you need something different, these two here. And I just wanted to highlight those two. Two other people I want to highlight that very underground rappers that I'm huge fans of, and they still produce some music. Ransom, who has a bunch of collaboration projects this year. I felt like he kind of followed the Currency model. I think he did like three or four on his own, and then like a bunch of others with some other people. I mean, he was very active this year. I love that for him because I feel like that he doesn't get enough recognition for his body of work that he has. And, you know, and I don't really think a casual fan even know who he is. I mean, some people might remember him when he was in that group with Fabulous, when, you know, Fabulous was hot and everything. But, you know, Ransom's dope. So, and Joel Ortiz, who put out a sleeper album that I didn't even think was going to be that great, but it was real good. But the five I picked for this year, the Mick Jenkins album, which we highlighted on the show, and also repeating what everyone else said, once again, the Nick Grant album. I really enjoyed that. I'm still listening to it. I've been a fan from day one, and I think that if more ears would pay attention to him, I think that he could be the hope that, you know, that what, you know, for the people who doubt what hip hop is now. I think Nick Grant is one of those guys that could be, you know, give people hope that, okay, there are some younger cats out here who still embody the spirit of rap and hip hop. Of course, everyone said it, and I'll keep going. The Killer Mike album, which is dynamic. And now, going through the list, trying to create this list, I made sure I listened to all these albums. I listened to a bunch of albums within the past 2 weeks. I feel very strongly about Killer Mike getting the Grammy, and I almost feel like if he doesn't get the Grammy next year, I feel like he's gonna get robbed. Like, that's where I'm at right now. Like, Killer Mike should win the Grammy. Not to say it was the best album, but I feel like what he was able to do with this album deserves the highest honor that, you know, that comes with it. And I mean, you know, right now it's, you know, we don't have the Source 5 mics no more, but so I guess the Rap Grammy replaces that in some way. And I think he really deserves that. My two favorite albums this year, and for me, it's two albums, but it came as one, but is Drake's For My Dogs and Drake's Scary Hours 3. Yeah, I'm really enjoying those. I can listen to the whole thing and I'm good. And I don't need nothing else for the rest of the day. I almost want to proclaim Drake as rapper of the year. I'm not afraid to say it. I know some others will, but I think that, you know, what he was able to do with For My Dogs and Scary Hours, the tour that he just had was amazing. I mean, people are still, he's still getting buzz from Her Loss from last year. And I mean, in this day and age, you know, just to have an album that was released from last year and people are still talking about it in the new year, is it's a testament to your body of work, because, you know, attention spans are so short today. You know, if you release an album in January, you'll be lucky if someone is talking about it in May. But, for, you know, we're closing in on 2 years and people are still talking about Her Loss. And you can say whatever you want about 21, but that, Drake was still a part of that album. I feel like it was more great songs than great albums this year. And that's no diss to, you know, none of the artists for all the work they put in. But I'm confident with those five albums. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's what's up, Kev. I do want to throw a little mud in the room after hearing everybody's highlights for the year and just say, ask this question or pose this question. No one mentioned anyone from Griselda. My question is, did they fall off or were we not paying attention? Kev?
I don't think the fact that they fell off. I think the fact that I think their sound is becoming very repetitive. I'm a huge Griselda fan, and I think we're at this moment where they still are with the same production house. Like when we talked about the Rhapsody and Hit Boy song, and it was like, I was like, that's what she needed. She needed to get away from Knife and create this new sound with someone else. I think that all those, oh gosh, what is the guy's name? I can't think of the producer they have. He's an in-house producer. Nothing against him. I think, you know, he was able to, Deranger, that's his name. He was able to create a sound for them to get to the level that they were able to get to, but he hasn't changed. It's very repetitive. It's like a lot of the same beats. A lot of it just sounds the same. It's so much of the sameness. And I think that even with them, they're always teasing retirement. And you can't keep teasing retirement. That gets old. So you have the same sound, the teasing retirement. We don't know what Benny's doing. Like, he had the Drake feature. That was cool. He got the Lil Wayne feature. It was but he's getting a lot of.
So
now go ahead.
Yeah. So this is what I'll give you. I won't like fault them for their repetitiveness or anything like that, because their sound is their sound. And I think that that's what they're appreciated for. But I'll just say that they didn't excel. I enjoy the West Side Gun album. But he's, for him to be as big as he is, they're still very much a niche, like, artist. Like, he can break into mainstream, but he just doesn't want to. So, and breaking into mainstream doesn't necessarily mean that you have to sell out on your own art or craft. But what I'm saying is you got to step up. You know what I mean? You, like you said, you got to get those beats from those certain producers and explore those sounds that are going to be more palatable by a general audience. And not to say that we need that as people who appreciate them, but what I'm saying is to give us that, it would allow us to appreciate their music a little bit more. Because even from the West Side Gun project and even the Conway project, it's like, We understand them more as vocalists, more so than great music makers. And so I think that they need to give us better songs. And I think Benny the Butcher is the best at doing that, because the track that he dropped with Lil Wayne, in my opinion, was really, really good. It brought that competitiveness to music back. And I think that he's going to drop a really good project next year. Which I'm waiting for, and I think he's going to be the one to really do what we expect from Griselda. So even though he got smoked by Wayne on that track, it was a good track.
But in the world, so when you say that, right, So take the Lil Wayne song, the Lil Wayne feature, and you take the J. Cole feature, right? Which is his two biggest songs out now, right? And you just
relatively speaking,
I'm not saying over his whole catalog. I'm just saying currently.
I would say yes, they're the most popular. Yes,
right. But if he got smoked by Wayne, and he definitely didn't, you know, I don't know.
But that's Wayne. That's Wayne and Cole. A lot of people not getting features from Wayne or Cole. Because they, like, I'm talking about real rappers aren't getting features from Wayne or Cole because they don't want to get smoked. You know what I mean? So
him, but him, I mean, him getting those features, I think was a good look. But just like, to take the points you just made, he was the lesser on those two songs.
But he was still good, though. I'm not taking that away.
Okay.
I would argue that, I mean, I respect both of you guys' opinion, but I would argue that Benny was better than Lil Wayne. That's just my opinion.
He said Lil Wayne.
It's getting spicy.
He said Lil Wayne. I didn't say Lil Wayne.
It's getting spicy.
He said I did.
It's getting spicy.
Let me clarify that.
It's getting spicy.
I said the song was at best. The song was
Yeah.
It wasn't that great to me.
I mean, the song was cool. I'm just saying, from my listening to it, the times I've listened to it, I think that Benny's verses were tighter. Again, as much as people want to hail Lil Wayne as current, he's still as tight as he was back in the day. I don't see it. I see that, you know, rhyming words is not, you know, for me is not the you're not going to win. Whereas Benny came on and put it down, you know?
No, I give you that. I don't know. It just wasn't. It wasn't Griselda's year this year. Not to say they didn't have moments in 23, but it was like just like the question you posed. Like, normally I would have a Griselda in my top highlights for the year. And you know this.
Exactly.
Every year I have them up there. And then until you said it, I didn't even think it until you said it. I mean, if I had to choose between my best Griselda album this year, it would be that last one Conway did. It wasn't a bad album, but it's just, I don't know, just felt like, I was like, I need, if they get another producer, then I think they would be doing great. Now that Benny's on Def Jam, I think his sound is going to change. So just like JB said, Benny is probably going to bring them back. So in next year, the conversation will be different. You'll be asking another question, not for them, though.
I'm in hopes. Again, I support them and what they do. You know, I think the listeners also know that I prefer Conway over all of Griselda. But I thought that this project was the better of them as well. I thought his bars were cleaner. I thought his bars were more introspective, not totally, but the way he storytells and the way he raps, to me, he's the farthest from the Dope Man rapper. You know, he gives the fact that, you know, some of his stories end with the Dope Boy not winning. And I think that you have to be, you know, I believe in that the Dope Man can't win every time. So with that, we're going to keep it moving, but I appreciate y'all on that. It was, I thought everybody's picks were really well. And again, I just had to bring that one up because, like I said, we've been doing this show for a while and usually Benny or somebody gets pulled, you know, gets brought up constantly. And this one, I was like, wow, that was kind of absent. So we're going to keep it moving on to our next topic. And Kev is going to handle that one for us. And it is the lowlights of the year.
With every high, you have your lows. Some of my lowlights of the year were the City Girls flopping. I was surprised to see that. I thought they would. I thought it'd be a while before they wouldn't have any type of success in the year, but I guess that future is now. I'm shocked by that. The biggest low moment for me this year was Hip Hop 50. I've been down on the Hip Hop 50 all year. I still don't think they did it right. And, you know, listening to MC Hammer and KRS-One kind of stamped my feelings on what I thought about it. I think KRS-One made an excellent point. He said that, he said, why now? He said, why call me now? He was like, hip hop at 47, you could have picked up the phone and said, hey, we're getting ready for 50. Let's build some momentum up for it. And just to, a lot of stuff did seem rushed to me. I still stand on that the pillars of hip hop are not represented. And we kind of touched on that in a previous episode. That's just still my opinion. I just feel like more could have been done. I seen a few clips of certain celebrations going on. I love what they did down in Houston for Hip Hop 50. Drink Champs had something, but I don't know if it was ever released or not. And I wish it would have been just released and really publicized. They had a very good panel for the anniversary show. Like I said, I don't know if it's been released. I've seen clips, but I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I'm really down on the Hip Hop 50 celebrations. I think a lot more could have been done. I know a lot of people were praising the Hip Hop Grammys celebration that they did, but I'm still like, I don't know. I don't know. I just think that the contributions of rap music to music as a whole deserves so much more, because with all these other musical genres, we really can't pinpoint a starting point. For hip hop, just to be to be going for the shortest period of time and have such a huge impact, I think the celebration should have, celebration should have been, kind of showing more love to the impact that this music has. And I don't know. Like that was the hugest low light to me this year. And it would have been my only one. If it wasn't for the City Girls thing, which I'm more shocked behind that than anything else. But I just think that, we need more. We need more. Not to say that there wasn't some good moments, but just overall, it was just a very low for me.
Yeah, definitely, Kev. And, I concur with the sentiments on the 50th anniversary of hip hop. Like, I just wish there was more cohesion amongst the legends in hip hop. I don't necessarily agree with some of the takes that point out how, yeah, I get the pillars of hip hop, but we do also have to acknowledge that hip hop became rap. You know what I mean? And so not to take away from rap, you know what I'm saying? But I think in celebrating hip hop, it should have expressed, Dirty South music and all of those hits. But it was quite unfortunate for me to not see so many important figures in hip hop, like KRS-One, who explained why he wasn't there. But, I think that you can look at things as either an opportunity. You can always look at something as an opportunity for something. But, I would love to see certain representations of hip hop that we just didn't see. My particular lowlights honestly were not receiving an album from a Cole or a Hillbillies album from Kendrick and Baby Keem. And then also I would say the Drake album. I mean, I know that a lot of people enjoyed a deluxe version with 5 songs of him actually rapping. I think Drake's album, in my personal opinion, was good to listen to, but it's just disheartening for me to see, or rather experience, an artist who was so great drop music that isn't that great.
I'm definitely with you on that one, JB. Definitely with you on that. As far as for me, man, on the low lights, you know, I'm the old head, so it's going to be extensive, and it can be a little bit, it may be a little bit, you know, offensive to some people, but the start off was Offset and Quavo's projects were low lights to me. Sexy Red's project was a low light to me. The City Girls, low light. Nicki Minaj's project, another low light. Then we got to go and get into, you know, the 50 years of hip hop. BET Hip Hop Awards, when the crowd did not recognize Marley Marl for being the person who made all of this possible as far as sampling, which still goes on to this day. And he, you know, they had to literally threaten the crowd to get up and show this man some love. I get JB saying that, you know, got to show Dirty South some love. But if you really look at it, the South is quite disrespectful. I'm just like, they do not acknowledge the reason they're able to get these big bags, the reason why Nicki Minaj and Drake and Lil Wayne are able to have as much money as they have is because of these people putting in the work they put in. And I think it's irresponsible for them not to at least acknowledge them, you know? And I wish that that would happen more often. But again, that's the old man in me saying these things, because again, I don't understand why it can't be. Because if you look at any other genre of music, young country singers, always the hottest young country singers, always talk about their influences and the people who pioneered country music.
That's facts.
Rock and
roll.
That's yeah.
A super fact.
Rock and rollers, the current young rock and rollers, they do the same thing.
But do you not think that they acknowledge like that music by stating who they kind of look up to? Like, there are artists that their music is rooted in. There's a low light that I forgot to mention also that I think we're all going to concur with as well. But to the point of what you mentioned, you know, I think that we got to look at where the South came from. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at Goody Mob, the Dungeon Family, Outkast, UGK, like, these guys were in the same arenas as the Jay-Z's and the Nas's, to some, or not, maybe not the Nas's, but the Jay-Z's. So it's like, again, like, rap is a derivative of hip hop. You know what I mean? I just think certain cultures of hip hop sort of grew out over time.
Yeah, but you the groups you named all show mad respect. I'm talking about current. I'm talking about current, anyone from 2008 till today. Those are the people who show no respect.
That's facts.
To the pioneers. UGK shows mad love. He talks about, they talk about Big Daddy Kane. They talk about the Ghetto Boys. They, you know, everyone shows, and don't let me get me started on the Dungeon Family.
But
they show mad love.
But let me ask you this, though. So when you say show love in what way, though? Like, because we could go back to the 90s and the Source Awards when, you know, Andre gave the famous quote, the South got something to say. And that was the South getting booed in New York at the Source Awards. So it's kind of like, Outkast is arguably the greatest duo group in hip hop history.
I concur.
And they got booed in New York. So it's kind of like, I'm not defending or saying anyone's wrong or anything. I'm just giving another point to this. But if the one of the biggest groups in the South won an award in New York, now granted it was over 20 years ago, but still, people still harbor feelings over something like that. But I feel like, I feel like when the South was able to gain notoriety, New York borrowed a lot of the no South doubt. Style.
That's true. That's true. And then so, I'll say this, and I think who B Wise is talking about here is a group of individuals who quite honestly aren't managed to the level of the guys that we would see, or the women as well, that we would see on quote unquote national live television. And I think they're busy doing something right now that's so different, you know, that sort of paying that homage in their music, like a flip on a sample or something like that, may not, you know, work for them in their career, you know, career wise. But, you know, you do have some artists like Coi Leray linking up with Busta, things like that. So I do get what you're saying, but.
Yeah, well, technically, Coi Leray is not South.
True, but sound-wise, it's popular rap, and that's all music is now. There is no regional music anymore.
No doubt. I'm in agreement with you on that.
But I think one of the points that, you know, I think, you know, like, well, just to go back a little bit, one of the big points about this whole podcast that we're on now was to bridge that gap, or to bring awareness to things from the past and to bring awareness to things in the current and possible future. And I mean, now I'm sitting here thinking about it, I think we did get a little bit away from it. You know, our actual mission, but you know, JB had said something a few weeks back when he said about Travis Scott and like, who are Travis Scott's influences? And from, since you made that comment, I've always, and I've been sitting here and I'm racking in my brain thinking about it. And it's sad to say, and it's sad because, you know, one of the biggest artists in Houston is not that far off from Travis Scott, to be honest with you. And you, do you know who I'm talking about?
In Houston?
Who are you talking about?
Yeah.
Biggest Travis
Scarface. Scarface, early Scarface, early Scarface, early Scarface.
Yeah.
But do you remember early Scarface music though?
Oh yeah, he was a pioneer as far as the sound he was trying to make.
But I'm saying the content about having mental issues, about you know, trying to find an escape, thinking about suicide, like him and like Bushwick Bill. I mean, go listen to Big Bushwick Bill's interviews from when he was alive. And he put all that in his music. And a lot of that was in Scarface music. So it was very slow. It was very slowed down. If you do, like Bun B actually put it up on his Instagram the other day. He put the clip up where Scarface kind of talked about the slowed down beats. And people was like, oh, DJ Screw. He was like, no. He said this, he said Screw came up with one style, but the slowed down beats was originated by this other guy. And it's not that, I'm telling you, you go listen to Scarface like first and second albums, man. It's not that far off from Travis Scott. I'll be honest with you.
I agree with you now that you mention it like that. I totally agree with what you're saying.
And it's quite possible, yeah, just because Travis doesn't talk about it, but it's quite possible that Scarface made it cool for a guy like Travis to feel comfortable in saying the things that he says on his albums. You know what I mean?
And Texas has a lot of pride in their sound, like from artists of all different backgrounds. So yeah,
not to say anything against the younger artists or the up and coming artists, you know, it would be nice if those artists talked about their influences, like just like BY said, in other genres of music, you know, this person says this legend, or this person says this legend, or even like you could go on social media right now, any given Friday, and you'll see a post, the music your mama played Saturday morning as she cleaned the house. You know what I'm saying?
But it's like that music is the early 2000s for the current generation of artists. You know what I'm saying?
Which is true, but at the same time, the music was there. You know what I mean? Like, even if you were two, three, four, five, six. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. It was.
And so my last lowlight for the year, or I guess the last lowlight for the year, is Sexy Red becoming the face of female rap.
It's a sad situation, but yes, she is the face of rap. Everybody's loving her. Everyone who is prominent loves her. But I can tell you that I work in a community around people that do not care for her and what she's bringing into their houses. And it is going to be very problematic for her if she continues long term, which I don't know if she's going to be able to. Again, there's going to be a lot of backlash from her stuff. I assure you of that, just from the mainstream people that I work around.
I don't. I'm going to tell you what I told my daughter, my oldest daughter. She's not a huge fan of Sexy Red. And I said that we have to give the girl the benefit of the doubt. Whatever she did, it was smart, because there are a lot.
No,
let me finish though.
I refute those claims.
Let me finish.
holy water.
There are a lot of females out here who want to be one hit wonders and can't even generate success in their cities or states or wherever. You know, up until now, Sexy Red was a local rapper in her city, or, you know, barely known throughout her state. And she created something that was so, I don't want to say ignorant. She created something so unintelligent that, you know, no one could believe that anyone would make this song as a serious thing, because we all thought it was a joke. And for it to achieve the success that it has, that is not the fault of Sexy Red. That is the fault of the individuals that go out here. They call the radio stations to play this song. They out here making TikToks and all these other social media videos. And you got the one young lady who did Pound Town, the opera version, Pound Town This Way, all those people, they are the problem. Sexy Red is not the problem.
It's putrid to me, though. It's just absolutely putrid. I think we're in a toxic trash culture right now in terms of like what manifests itself from the internet. Because again, the whole psychology behind all of this goes back to Blueface and how he got on. He got on from everybody talking about how trash this song is. And then eventually people, you know, the repetitiveness of going back and listening to it over and over again now made this a listenable song. Even with Blueface's girlfriend, I don't even know her name, with this other song, this Barbie, Hips Like a Barbie song that everybody's like playing over and over on TikTok. It's just to the point, like, it's just like, I get what you're saying about it not being Sexy Red's fault, but she still created a song, and her hopes for creating the song was to be notarized as a artist, which is why she dropped a project. And for some reason, every media outlet is saying that that album is top 15, top 20 of the year, when it's absolutely garbage to me. And I feel like there's so many other rappers in her genre or version of music, I guess, today that is so much better than her. And so it's like, for me, it's just like, what's the standard? Do you just have to be a female rapping about something and have popularity to be considered the best?
But
because,
I mean, everything you're saying is correct, because there's a guy that I follow on YouTube that does music reviews, and up until the Sexy Red album review, I was like, I like this guy's opinion. His critiques, everything was outstanding. He did the Sexy Red album and he gave it like a 8.something out of 10. And he said that it's not great musically, but Sexy Red embodies this style and is one of, and she, the way that she, you know, I guess displays this art or talent is so phenomenal that, you know, she deserves, you know, credit for it. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, and if you read the comments, I mean, like everybody, it, like 95% of the comments, he got dogged for his opinion. Like he didn't even say it was good though. But
yeah, I know what you're saying, but it's just the fact that just because someone does something, and it's like the crowd theory, just because a bunch of people do something, and then it becomes a quote unquote standard in some way, we find a way to hold someone up, you know, against what it is. And it's just like, you know, again, like I just feel like in the male rap world, our best artists are, and I don't want to separate people here, you know what I'm saying, by sex. But I mean, it's sort of kind of what people do. Like, you know what I mean? Like people say, oh, the best female rapper. But it's just like, when we look at best in music, we're talking about Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole and Drake, you know, among the modern, currently active and still going number one, quote unquote, wink, wink. But it's just like, among women, it's just like, again, I give Nicki her props. I think the project she dropped was good for what it was to be. I never looked at Nicki as this. I always looked at her as like the female Drake in a way, but with her own little audience. And I think that she did that well. But it's like for Sexy Red, I just feel like, man, and everybody says like Sexy Red is like the female Gucci man. She makes trap music, you know, and it's just like, I listen to the project and all of it isn't what that, you know, Booty Hole Brown song is. I get it. But it's just like, to me, it's just very hard, bro, to call what she does music. And it's not just looking at her personality, bro. It's just even talking about the music in general. But
just like you said, it goes back to the culture of today. I mean, you honestly have people who say their job is content creator.
Yeah, you're right.
That's job. What the hell is that?
I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. And I think that it's deplorable, but it is, I definitely get what you're saying. At what she does, being that it is a standard in some realm, she does it well, I will say.
I mean, we have a guy who sits in his car and eats food and gets millions of views. Nothing against Keith Lee. I think he's a very positive guy, but you do what everybody does every single day.
without a video.
You do what everybody does every single day. We all eat food. Sometimes you eat in your car, and you know, it's just,
you're right.
I hate to go down this rabbit hole, but it's just like, it's
you're right, and I totally get what you're saying.
It's not Sexy Red though.
I don't think
Sexy Red today.
I get what you say. It's the culture.
Just like, you know, soon she popped that baby out, we probably ain't gonna, Sexy Red is gonna be an afterthought. It'll be another rapper, female or male, with something that doesn't make sense, that's gonna run the headlines.
Yeah, cause she, it's like, in my mind, it's just like, you can't keep getting away with this. Like, you can't, that is just, oh man, I don't see how you.
But that goes back to my point I made. That's my point I made a couple weeks ago, that rap music is not in the hands of the people. That's just like the Leo Cohen's, all those clips, the clips he had from Drink Champs and the clips he had from The Breakfast Club, where he pretty much like, yeah, he signs, you know, Charlamagne. I think Charlamagne asked him, you know, how do you feel about some of these artists that you sign? And he was like, I got to eat too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's not the culture.
Yeah. Or rather, it is the culture, but it doesn't feed
the culture. It's not the culture. You know
it's
saying? Not
no,
the
no.
culture.
What I'm saying is, I mean, it's a reason why this person is accepted. You know what I'm saying? Like, it aids some aspect of culture. You know what I'm saying? Or perpetuates some aspect of culture in its hyperbolic form. But I don't think it necessarily benefits us. So
it's not.
And that's purposeful, guys. I'm gonna end this one off and just state that, you know, this is all purposeful. This is all purposeful. Lior literally said it on screen and on audio. You can hear him. I'm gonna put out the music, regardless of how detrimental it is to your community, because it's not detrimental to mine, as long as it makes me a dollar. And I don't mind having a 360 deal with these kids because they're gonna make me money. So he's literally, and he's not the only one. All of the major record labels do it, and they're doing it purposefully. They're like, they could sign D1. They could promote D1 to the point that he would be just as big as any of these average rappers. I'm not saying he would make Drake status or make Travis Scott status, but he could be just as popular as a Moneybagg Yo. He could be just as popular as a Vic Mensa, any of those, you know, some any of those average names that you can call out in the rap game. So they don't, because what he's talking about in his music, it doesn't benefit them to keep people distracted by things that don't like I said, edify them. I've said this many times before. That's how you get people to be the way we are. That's why we are the way we are about things. We love things because things are what's advertised to us. You need this thing to feel important. You need this thing to feel sexy. You need this thing. And we'll leave it at that. We're going to move on to our last, and which I think is our best part of this show. It is talking about the future. And we're going to let JB handle this. Take it away, JB.
Yeah. So looking at the future, man, when it comes to artists, when it comes to music, you know, based on what we got from 2023 and we haven't got from 2023, you know, what do we expect? What do we predict? You know, will come. What do we see? Foretell of the future of music in 2024. And I'll take this one off the top. First and foremost, I see a big year. I see a big year for artists like Jid out of Atlanta, signed to Dreamville. He has two projects anticipated, one of which produced by who I anticipate to be the producer of the year for 2023, Metro Boomin. And then I also anticipate a J. Cole album next year. I feel it. It's coming. If it's not coming on December 29th of this year, which he has a tendency to do, and I think he should continue to do, it's coming next year. I feel like we got a J. Cole project coming next year. Probably won't drop this year because Boss just dropped and he doesn't want to take anything away from his own artist, which Boss's album is really good too. So yeah, big year for Jid, big year or album from J. Cole. I'm anticipating a Hillbillies album, and Hillbillies is comprised of Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar. If you haven't listened to Baby Keem's project, the Melodic Blue, he recently dropped a very abstract short film for the album on Amazon Prime, which is really, really good in my opinion. But the Hillbillies album, I'm really looking forward to. I think that they're innovating a style of music which is attempted to be copied so much right now. And they're very unique in what they do. And Pink Sifu, I anticipate another project from Pink Sifu, a big year for him. I think that he'll break out into the modern stream of recognition because he's such a talented artist, in my opinion. I think Lil Yachty continues with his momentum and gives us something potentially Grammy worthy. I don't know. Not that I'm big on Lil Yachty, but I just feel like he's one of those artists that right now, with the big Drake stamp he has, realizes that it's his time to take off, or maybe it's his time to sit back and build a conglomerate of a group of artists to make this sappy jazz rap music that I don't really think is that great. And then on the underground side, I anticipate really big things from Mac Hami and those guys. And then I do also anticipate a great album from Rap City, man. I know Rap City is going to give us something special next year. I know what's coming with the single dropping at the end of this year. And then also, last but surely not least, I think Playboi Carti is going to give us something special in January as well. I always think January albums fall short of any 2024 recognition because most of them can't carry out the rest of the year, which is why I think Benny will probably drop two things next year. But yeah, that's my anticipation of the future 2024 based on what I know so far. And I'll let you guys take it away.
All right. So for me, when it comes to the future 2024, I'm more excited about the young artists, but I do want to get some of my older artists out of the way. I look forward to, there's rumors of a Method Man, Redman reunion. There's also rumors of a Redman solo album. So I'm excited for those things and hope that they come strong like they normally do. Any old school artist coming back is an exciting thing for me, take for me after, you know, again, Busta's album. I think initially you would not think it was a great, great project. I think you have to listen to it several times over. I think he tried to bridge the gap. His song with Burna Boy, his song with Coyle Ray, his song with Young Thug. I think he really, really went out of his way to try to bridge the gap. And I think he was successful. The issue is trying to get used to a boom bap rapper on the same track as a current style rapper is tough for people. So I'd encourage the audience to continue to keep listening to Blockbusta and keep giving it a chance. I think it will grow on you. I'm in my fourth play of the album, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly. So moving on to my young artist that I'm really, really excited about, Lady London. You know, she put out a project this past year, Soul, that I thought was really, really good, really good. And she just doesn't have that machine behind her yet, but that if she can get a little something behind her, she's going to be really, really good. And she can rap. She can really rap. And I got to show some DC love. I think his album for this year was overlooked, but he has been consistent in what he does, and that's IDK. So I'm hoping that IDK can get put on somebody. If he can just get a feature on somebody's project that's really bumping and get some more notoriety, you know, I think he can really take the reins and run with it. My next person that I'm really looking forward to is Chris Patrick. This dude, I was like, what? And On the Radar is his project from last year, but I'm super excited to see what he's going to do going into the new year, as well as Cash Cobain. Another artist that I didn't think I would like after hearing enough singles from him. I was like, whoa, okay, I see where he's going. And then lastly, for me, is Midwest. Midwest is interesting, very interesting. Again, I saved the two that I'm still trying to get my head around, but I think younger people are going to really enjoy them more so than I am, but I'm still excited to see where they can go. I think they all have the talent necessary. And it seems to me, just from looking at the music, hearing the music that they put out so far, that they care about what they're doing. And yeah, everybody wants a bag, but I just think that they care about what they're trying to do in this thing we call hip hop. We're going to let our man Kev anchor this one. Kev, take it away.
I'm hopeful that I can get a super group out of some underground artists, Ransom, 38, Spish, and Che Noir. I think every time they collaborate together, it's good. They always put out good music, and I just hope they can. I would love for them to get together and do something. I'm not sure what Broly James and Larry June are going to do for next year because they were so active this year, but I would love for them to, like, you know, keep putting out good music. A friend of mine went to the Larry June concert that came to DC, and she said it was phenomenal. So, you know, that's a good sign that, you know, an underground artist like Larry can, you know, make some noise and keep his career going. We do got the Benny album that's supposed to drop next year, his first on Def Jam. I think it's high hopes for that. And we'll see the what kind of executive power that, you know, Snoop Dogg has, because I think he still is a label chief or label head at Def Jam now, and see if they can, I don't know, I guess bring back Def Jam or rebuild Def Jam. It is going to be something to see. Kanye West, surprised no one mentioned his name. I think Kanye West is, he's the most interesting artist in all of music. I think he's the most influential artist in all of pop culture. And I think that, I think the impact of this new album, I think is going to shift. I think the next, what he does after this album, what I think he does next is he gives us back, he goes back to the old sound, because I'm not sure if he can keep pushing the limits. At some point, it's going to get somewhat tiresome, but it's working for now. So, you know, much success to him. I'm anticipating an Outkast reunion, either a song or another tour this year. Andre did do an interview, and they asked him, and he said he's preparing himself mentally to collaborate with Big Boi again in some capacity, either a tour or new music. I think with the success of this Flute album, I don't think an Outkast reunion is too far away. Like someone said earlier, you know, he got the feature on the Killer Mike album. He did a feature for Kanye on the Donda album that, you know, it got leaked later on. So, you know, I know he says he's not in the mood to rap, but he can do it if he wants to. As far as younger artists go, it's two young artists that I'm really high on at the moment. They recently released music, and I think that the more ears that get onto these two guys is going to elevate them to another level. One artist is Recognize Ali. I'm not sure where he's from, but he has a sound that I really, really enjoy. And another one is Quincy White. He's a West Coast guy. He incorporates that West Coast sound in his music. But he had a feature with Styles P and Dave East on his album. Both of those songs were incredible. I think the song with Styles P, I mean, like, Styles didn't kill him. Like, he hung with Styles P, and just any young artist, no matter what, you know, region you from, can hang with a legend like Styles P. I think it's saying something. I don't know. I hope for good things, and, you know, for next year. One of the things I think I did miss from this year that I wish we, you know, I've been saying since the pandemic started was, if we could get a unity song as in the vein of a Self-Destruction or We're All in the Same Gang. I think that rap music needs that. And it doesn't have to be like this social conscious thing, or, you know, well, I take that back. I do think that we need something like a social conscious thing, like a, you know, Self-Destruction, the impact that it had at that time. I would love to see that today, where you get these artists, even if they want to make a regional based song or East Coast or just a coast to coast wide. I would love to see just these artists getting together, and giving us something with some sort of substance, but at the same time with a message to the people out there that, you know, things have to get better and things can get better if, you know, if you put the work in. So that's what I think. I I'll say this, you know, we are anticipating the J. Cole album because he's doing that tour with Drake. I'm going to say this might be J. Cole's best album, and we haven't heard nothing from it. I think it's going to be his best album because I think that I'm anticipating that the Drake tour is going to push him to put out his best body of work, but also him still competing with Kendrick for the top spot. I think that is going to motivate him to a higher level. I just wish, you know, I wish the beat selection he figure that part out. But, you know, overall, I'm hoping for the best, and let's just see where things go.
Yeah, that's what's up. Okay, I appreciate that, man. I thank you guys for this conversation. Let's go in with our social media plugs and get out of here. We thank you all for listening. You can follow us on social media at Instagram at MixEraRapPod. Again, that's MixEraRapPod. And you can follow us on X, Twitter, at MixEraRap. And again, we will be getting up our TikTok probably in the new year. All right. We appreciate you guys. You guys have some good holidays. Enjoy your holidays. And we're going to let the fellas take it out of here and give their wishes for the new year. I wish you all happiness and much great music. Kev?
Yeah, happy holidays. Peace to, you know, each and everyone in their family. And, you know, just a great outlook going into the new year. And have hope. Always have hope. Have faith that things will get better, that your life will get better. And, you know, peace to everyone.
Yeah, man. Be safe out there, everybody. Enjoy your new year. You know, take the opportunity to level yourself up, do something better than what you did this year. And man, just I really look forward to the music to come, the excitement of the new year. So yeah, man, take care, and we'll catch you all in the new year.
All right, and I'll be remiss if I don't mention that we're going to have a call-in show coming up in the new year as well. Thank you all again. We out of here. Peace.